Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 75 of HER, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. And today, we're going to figure out how she smiles and why she should smile. Or should she? But before we launch into this episode, please know that it was made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins, which are delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to smartypantsvitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and rate and review this podcast because I read all of these things. Love them, love them, love them. Your feedback means everything to me. All right, it's time for HER.
HER. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life.
It's all about her.
All right, now listen, everyone. Stop telling women to smile already. What do we mean by that? Oh, all kinds of great things. And we have with us a world-renowned expert in this field. Dr. Helen Fisher is a biological anthropologist whom I know a lot of you have read about. She's a senior research fellow, the Kinsey Institute, member of the Center for Human Evolutionary Studies in the Department of Anthropology at Rutgers University, and she is the author of probably one of my most favorite books. I'm such a fangirl, I have to control myself right now, Anatomy of Love: A Natural History of Mating, Marriage, and Why We Stray. And you've probably seen her TED Talks. Oh my God, she's got 11 million views of her talks. And, you know, she has literally become an international sensation, and her ability to be able to really help us understand, comprehend our crazy ass behaviors out there as an anthropologist. Helen, welcome to the HER podcast.
Oh, Pam, thank you very much, and thank you for that absolutely beautiful introduction.
Hey, listen, I practiced that for an hour, okay?
Well, you did a good job.
So for crying out loud, this whole thing about smiling already. Okay, so let's get right into it. During Hillary Clinton's campaign, men told her she needed to smile more. Okay, and you were quoted in a recent article that really stated that telling anyone to do anything can rub you the wrong way, particularly if it's not natural to you. And This is all about this whole gig about how some female celebrities don't smile often, like our pal Kim Kardashian, and have publicly commented on their choice not to smile. Then we have the issue of the resting bitch face, which has been called, which has been described as women who just have that, you know, the look that guys typically have, but if a woman has it, it's a bitch face. All right, Helen, as a biological anthropologist, what the heck is going on here?
Well, there's a lot going on, but, you know, probably smiling came out of nature. I mean, we aren't the first to smile. All kinds of chimpanzees smile. I don't have a dog, but people have told me that dogs smile. But anyway, it came out of an appeasement gesture. It's a sort of a submissive gesture that says, you know, don't mess with me. I'm friendly. I'm not going to harm you. I'm okay. I'm your friend. And some men regard smiling as its original, you know, meaning, which is an appeasement gesture, and they regard it as weak. And so they'll tell you to, you know, not smile so much when you go into a business meeting. So, as a matter of fact, you know, men who are very high testosterone have much less expression in their face. So high testosterone is linked with less expression in your face. And you can watch some of these talking heads on television, a very, you know, powerful, dominant man. They're really moving nothing except their lips. They're not moving the face at all. And it's a testosterone, probably a testosterone signal. And it's probably, you know, people wanted Hillary, I guess, to be more warm and friendly and female-like. And I think she is a very high testosterone woman, and she's been very assertive in her career. I think she even wanted to join the Marines when she was young. When somebody once asked her, why she thought Bill liked her, why she liked Bill. She said, well, he wasn't afraid of me. Well, I wouldn't have said that myself. So the bottom line, she's probably quite a high testosterone woman, expressive of many of those traits. Among them, she's not a real natural smiler. And I guess an awful lot of Americans wanted a woman to be exactly what they regarded as a woman, which is a very smiling kind of individual.
It very, very interesting. So they came up with a bit of a mildly humorous and at the same time kind of questionable, you know, phrase, the resting bitch face, you know, and then I remember seeing this in the New York Times. They actually had like a whole series of faces from, you know, politicians as well as, you know, women politicians, as well as celebrities, as well as corporate types and back and forth. And, you know, why is this of such great concern? Why is it that if a woman's not smiling, that's not right? Why are people so bent out of shape over this? Is this just a bunch of, you know, Paleolithic men who just don't get it with what's going on? Or is there something else happening here?
Well, first of all, when you smile, you move the muscles in your face in certain very characteristic ways. And that triggers, apparently, the nerve system in the brain. And it triggers feelings of it actually drives up the dopamine system, I'm told, and makes you feel good. And in fact, when other people watch you smile, they will do, it might be even a micro movement of their face, but they will mimic that smile even when they don't intend to. And that'll trigger the muscles in their face and trigger the nervous system in their head and push up some of these feel-good chemicals, and so they feel good too. So we do tend to feel good around somebody who's smiling, if not only because we find them friendly and, you know, not harmful, but because we mimic their smile and trigger this brain circuitry and feel good too. So it's entirely possible that some of these people who wanted Hillary to smile more just simply wanted to feel better about her. And, you know, if she was smiling, it would trigger it in them and they would feel better about her. So I think there's a lot of things playing out here. And, you know, some people are natural smilers, which I do think is linked with the estrogen system. And what are we doing? I mean, I'm a natural smiler. It's very hard to get me to not smile. And I think it is comes from appeasement in me and to say I'm friendly and, you know, feel good along with me. But it's also linked with the estrogen system. I think that a lot of people who are smiling, they just want to level the playing field. They want to just say, look, I'm fine, you're fine, let's go on. There's nobody's in, you know, has more power here, nobody's going to be dominant here. It's a level playing field, let's play. And I think an awful lot of men don't actually understand that because men tend to be more rank-oriented. This is one of the reasons that men don't apologize as much. They might be very sorry, but they don't apologize unless they are really sorry. They're not trying to play to level the playing field. They're very much more attuned to concepts of rank. And what smiling does is, you know, it breaks down that rank system. It says, come on, we're on the same playing field. Let's have a good time together. I feel good, you feel good. And some people are uncomfortable with that, particularly in their politicians.
Oh, I remember when I was up at the Harvard Club in New York giving a talk, and I went down, you know, one of those famous halls with all the, you know, the portraits of the guys and the rest of it. There was one special room there. Yeah. And I looked around, no one was smiling in any of those.
No, that's right.
It's like, come on, guys, loosen up here a little bit.
Yeah. But, It's not the way they loosen up. They loosen up throwing a ball. I mean, what did they do for millions of years? And the other thing is, you know, when you don't smile, you're not showing your emotions. And what were men doing for millions of years? They needed to almost contain themselves so that they didn't give away who they were, what was going on. I mean, these were the protectors. And these went out, you know, hunting dangerous animals. I mean, women came home with just as much food at night. In fact, and more, generally speaking. But part of this poker face reaction that high testosterone people have, women and men, it could have been very adaptive in the past, because if you're not revealing your emotions, then you can size people up probably better and, you know, perhaps be very protective or skeptical of what's going on around you in important ways. Now, women will, of course, smile and be very charming when, in fact, they don't mean it. And so, you know, there's a lot of guile. Like, there can be a lot of guile in there. There's a lot of different kinds of smiles, by the way. I mean, people have...
Well, passive-aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you could do that whole passive-aggressive thing where the smile is actually fairly evil. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And or there's the smile, there's the open smile, which you see both the top and the bottom teeth. And that's the really, oh, I'm so friendly. That actually comes from what they call the barred tooth display. You know, when you grit your teeth and you pull your lips back, that's when you're nervous. And so this very open smile is one of just reception, receptiveness. If you do, it's called the half smile, when you show just the, just the top teeth rather than the bottom and the top. And that's a sort of a more, oh, yes, I've seen you before in the grocery store, and yes, we're friends. I remember you lived down the street, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's the closed lip smile. And that's what you do when you're walking down the street past somebody who you vaguely know or don't even know at all, but you're trying to be friendly. And you just pull the lips back, but you don't show any teeth. And that's the kind of a nod smile in which you say, well, you know, I recognize who you are, and hope you have a good day, and I'm on my way. So there's different kinds of smile. And what's interesting is that people around the world really do pick up on this. They can, you know, anthropologists have gone to parts of New Guinea and certainly many other parts of the world and shown them pictures of people's smiles and people's angry faces too, actually, and disgust and surprise. And the natives anywhere know that this person is being friendly as opposed to that person being angry just by looking at the face. So these evolved a long time ago, and we still respond to them very viscerally. And I think this is why people wanted, you know, a lot of women wanted Hillary to smile so that she not only leveled the playing field and thought, you know, felt that she was, you know, in there to fight for you, but also that she was sort of a high estrogen, empathetic creature. And I would imagine that a lot of men probably found her weak when she smiled and found her much more, you know, confrontational and perhaps, you know, somebody to be reckoned with when she didn't smile. So it's a hard road that women take. I mean, you know, people are going to respond very differently to how you use your face.
Well, you know, sort of segueing off that and your excellent points, I've been watching with some fascination what's going on in France. Of course, have Marine Le Pen, and then we have the other dude.
Right.
And watching Le Pen, you know, in preparation for our wonderful segment, I've been doing a little, you know, smile study, and I've been watching her now. And if you actually hit images on Google under Marine Le Pen, you can see a full constellation of smiles. She's got the closed lip thing going. She's got the resting bitch smile, which is or the resting bitch face. She actually does that really well.
By the way, is that supposed to be the negative or positive? I mean, do people?
No,
like
it's actually supposed to be slapstick. It's more slapstick more than anything else because people laugh.
What does it look like?
There had to be a name for it. If anything, it was a softening of this whole issue of bitch. You know, she looks like a bitch. No, she has resting bitch face.
I see.
Oh my God, it's so much fun.
People are making all these, you know, that we're really coming up with all kinds of new linguistic things. It's a wonderful time for the evolution of language. I mean, who's ever heard of resting bitch face?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Well, just go to the Urban Dictionary if you're bored to tears one day or sitting on, you know, some tarmac forever waiting, you know, for your flight to take off and just scope some of the wild stuff coming down. There's another one that came out of this that was really fun, and I highly recommend everybody look at the YouTube. It's called Smiling Bitch Training Camp, and it's short, and one of the funniest things I have ever, and it shows men basically on the street saying, hey, why don't you smile more? Hey, girlfriend, smile. And meanwhile, you know, someone's just walking down the street and they're, you know, thoughtful, some poor woman. And she's like, she's like being ordered to smile. So this training camp is absolutely hysterical, Helen. You'd love it. And what it does, is it says, you're taught how to smile all the time with the big teeth coming out. Come on.
Oh, really?
You know, and so Women practice with pencils in their mouth to kind of always keep their mouth open. Oh my God, it's hysterical. And they're all young women and they're just having a ball with the whole thing. But, you know, getting back to Le Pen, I think everyone should look at these pictures because she does everything. She's got the, you know, the kind of warm and engaging thing with the teeth. She's got the powerful one. She's got the pensive closed mouth thing going, you know, kind of the subtle sort of the Da Vinci smile, you know. And, you know, that whole thing, she's got it all here. And I'm really curious to know, you know, how this is going to really come across to the populace over in France. Because in a lot of times when she's paired up with the other guy, he comes off as someone who never smiles, and he's very professional, you know, and back and forth. And she's got, meanwhile, a whole gig going. I wonder how that's going to play out. What's your prediction?
Well, I've done quite a bit of stuff on him now. I don't pronounce his name right. It's Macron, but I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right. But I've been interested in the fact that he's been, you know, he's married to a woman who's 24 years older and all that. She sounds like a very good actress. I mean, a very good actress can pull off a lot of different kinds of smiles and at the right moment, and that can be very useful. But whether you actually want that as a president, I don't know. We'll see what the French do with it. I mean, the issue is, you know, he's a centrist and wants to stay in the EU, and you know, she's you know, doesn't want much immigration, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. We'll see whether the people actually vote with their brain or whether they vote with their heart. And if they vote with their heart, she might sway the things with her smiling. But if they vote with their brain, they're going to vote what their political conscience is, rather than the way people express themselves. On the other hand, I really think that most people respond emotionally just about all the time. I mean, we've got a big cerebral cortex, and we do think things out, but we color all of our thoughts with our emotions. And a person who's very good at smiling at the right moment can, I think, certainly win hearts.
Mm-hmm. You know, as a physician, you know, I realize that my facial expressions, after all my years of working, really mean a lot to people. They literally, you know, stare at my face to see how
surprised.
I feel. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm
you know, we've all been there. I mean, hell, I do it with my own doctor. You know, if there's a funky look on the face, you know, we're not happy here. But
exactly.
If I've got that big smile thing going, okay, you know, then someone's really does that make sense? You know, so some smiles mean so much.
Everything means so much. Just the way he walks in the room, if he's hunched over, if he doesn't look at you, if he turns his back on you. But certainly the smiling face. With a doctor, you're really looking for news, and you're looking for news that is essential to your well-being. So, do you smile more because you know that, or?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I realized once, you know, during my training, most of my training was in internal medicine, then critical care and trauma. So one of the things I found was that if I'm leading a team in the intensive care unit or back and forth, I mean, where lives are at stake and back and forth, and if you're the leader of that team, right, then they're staring at your face to look for confidence.
Right.
And for leadership. And if there's anything on my face that looks like, oh, my God, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing here, that's always a bad thing, you know.
Absolutely.
Do you know? And so there's that. So in terms of leadership and you know, working within a team, that's very important. When it comes to people who are vulnerable, children, people who are sick or back and forth, when they see a face that has gentleness and kindness and a smile with or without teeth, doesn't matter, a smile is a smile, it means the world to them. It could change
their
world.
Absolutely, because it's friendly, you know. If it's not scared, I mean, if you walked in with a scared face, that they're going to say, oh my gosh, she's going to tell me I'm dying, you know. I realized once with myself, because I'm a natural smiler. I'm a level the playing field. I'm very high estrogen. I'm very eager to please. It's a bit nauseating, but that is me. And I can't help it. But anyway, I often talk about, you know, divorce and even adultery and all kinds of things. And I realized many years ago that I was smiling on a TV show while I was talking about adultery. And I suddenly realized at that moment, Helen, you can't do that because it looks as if you're endorsing it. You're looking at, it looks as if you're having fun. What I was really doing is smiling because I was somewhat nervous. It was a major TV show. I only had a few seconds to say what I had to say. And the, you know, the journalist had asked me about adultery. But from that day to this, I hold my face in certain positions when I'm talking about very serious things where, you know, where many people have been hurt or terribly disappointed. So when it comes to adultery, I don't smile. Divorce, I don't smile. And then I'll move my face very differently when I'm, you know, talking about how I'm optimistic about the future of the families, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, don't, I mean, you know, 90% of your, of everybody's communication is not verbal. It's your body stance. Now, for, and it's the tone of voice. Now, let's say if I say to somebody, I love you, they're not going to believe me. If I say, I love you, they will believe me. It's the tone of voice, not the words, not the content. And for millions of years, we didn't have regular language. I mean, you know, our former relatives, chimpanzees, gorillas, orangutans, et cetera, they're very astute at hearing the tone of voice, at watching the facial expressions, watching the body language, because that's giving it away because they don't have basic human language.
I love it. Well, you know, I was thinking about this also, you know, as I was sort of sifting through looking at smiles. And I came across many of the people who were at the recent Metropolitan Museum of Art Gala, which Anna Wintour puts on, and she is the editor of Vogue magazine, as most of us know. And I'm looking at her, okay? I'm looking at the celebrities, the top-level people who show up, but especially, you know, the models, you know, the very famous models back and forth. Not one of them shows teeth. They all have this kind of alluring smile. When's the last time you saw Anna Wintour's teeth? Now, let's just think about that for a second. I mean, she's always got that that look of a kind of a of just a the beginning of a cracking smile. It's just beginning, but it's it's, you know, she's not going to, it's almost like distrustful. She doesn't want to let it all hang out there. She can't show, you know, that emotion. Models, one can imagine, they're kind of, you know, human clothes hangers. And so clothes hangers don't smile anyway.
Right. And so I can kind of. I think, you know, a lot of these models have a very square face, a very square jaw, high cheekbones.
Yes.
And a high forehead, and that's all built by testosterone. They often have very slim hips also, that's built by testosterone, and they're often very tall. And those are all traits that are linked with testosterone. So it's entirely possible that that's lack of smiling that they're doing. Undoubtedly, they've been trained also to not smile. But it's entirely possible that not smiling comes much more naturally to them than somebody who's high estrogen like me.
I didn't realize that is really interesting.
Yeah.
That whole thing about high testosterone and the model thing. Now, you said high forehead, high cheekbones. You had slender hips.
And a very square jaw.
More male-like.
It's absolutely. It's more male-like, and it's built by testosterone in both men and women. You can look at somebody's face, and I mean, I think Steve Jobs was a perfect example of it. McCain is a perfect, that very square jaw, and high, you know, is a good example. And you don't think of McCain as a guy who's smiling a lot, and certainly not Steve Jobs. Whereas somebody like Jimmy Carter, he had a very round face, a much softer face, and he was always doing this huge grin. You could see almost his molar teeth. Testosterone patterns the brain in certain ways. So does estrogen. And oddly enough, there's a lot of traits that go along with that. And apparently one of them is the degree to which you smile and to which you, you know, really express your emotions. Women are much more emotionally expressive. High estrogen people are much more emotionally expressive. Now, for example, Bill Clinton has a very soft face, cries easily,
smiles a lot.
Long-term. Yeah. What did you say?
And he smiles a lot with teeth.
And he smiles a lot. And he's high estrogen. I mean, as a matter of fact, you know, people have been wondering when we're going to have our first female president. I think we have our first female president with Bill Clinton. He thought very. And of course,
well,
he married
isn't
a high
that interesting?
Person. Yeah.
Well, now, may I ask you a question? So does a high testosterone and how does it work in mating? In your beautiful book,
really,
The Anatomy of Love, how does that work? Are you aiming for a high estrogen, a high testosterone person, or how does that work?
Well, I really wanted to know, and so I created a question. There's a lot of systems in the brain, but most of them just keep the eyes blinking and the heart beating, as you know so well. But there's four brain systems that each one of them is linked with a constellation of personality traits, the estrogen and testosterone, but also the dopamine and the serotonin systems, those four brain systems. So I created a questionnaire to see to what degree you express the traits with these four brain systems. And then I watched on Match.com and chemistry.com, who was naturally drawn to whom. And as it turns out, the high testosterone is drawn to the high estrogen, and the high estrogen is drawn to the high testosterone. So with Bill and Hillary, it's the reverse. I think she expresses the traits of the testosterone system, and he expresses the traits of the estrogen system. So that seems to be a natural pattern. High dopamine people tend to be risk-taking, novelty-seeking, curious, creative, spontaneous, and energetic. They go for people like themselves, other people who are equally creative and curious and spontaneous. And the high serotonin people who are traditional, conventional, follow the rules, respect authority, concrete thinker. I think Mitt Romney is a perfect example. They're drawn to people like themselves also. So we are all a combination of all four of these brain systems, but it's the degree to which you express each of them. Now, for example, me, I'm very high estrogen, and the men that I go out with, over the years have been high testosterone. That's great. They have a lot of traits I don't have, and they're very helpful. But also within those men, I'm very high dopamine. I'm the novelty-seeking, risk-taking, curious, creative, spontaneous, energetic kind. And I go for the kind of man who's the same as me, the high dopamine. So I tend to go for men as a high estrogen dopamine woman. I go for men who are high testosterone dopamine men. I'm very low on the serotonin system. I don't respect authority unless it makes sense to me. I don't follow the rules. I follow the rules of the road. But, if it doesn't make sense, I just don't do it just because it's there. I'm much more of a theoretical than a concrete thinker, and on and on. So we're all a combination of all of them. But there are patterns to nature. There's patterns to culture. There's patterns to personality. And there's patterns to mate choice. And I've somehow snuck into Mother Nature's kitchen and found who we are drawn to chemically. People will say, well, we had chemistry. Well, what do they mean by that? But I wrote a whole book on it called Why Him, Why Her? Why Do You Naturally Fall in Love with One Person Rather Than Another? And so I'm not surprised that the Bill, who cries easily and very good people skills, very good verbal skills, whole world knows he can't stop talking. His last book, his memoir or his autobiography was, 958 pages or something. And what does he do? He picks for a wife a high testosterone woman. This may be one of the reasons that she stuck with him with all of the philandering. I'm not excusing it or anything, but a lot of women were upset by that. My guess is that she is practical and pragmatic and ambitious, certainly, and felt that she needed his estrogen qualities and stuck with it because she was pragmatic, which is part of the testosterone system.
I just, oh, wow. You know something, Helen? I could talk to you forever, and I may. This could be a threat here. I may just be here, for about a week and a half on the line with you, because you are absolutely a fount of knowledge on all things relationships, mating, marriage. And for everyone out there, we've been talking to Dr. Helen Fisher, who is a biological anthropologist and a senior research fellow at the Kinsey Institute. She's the author of probably one of the best books on the market, Anatomy of Love, A Natural History of Mating, Marriage, and Why We Stray. Her websites are helenfisher.com, as well as theanatomyoflove.com. Clearly go to TED, to the TED Talks, search for Helen Fisher, because you've got gotta see these. I mean, she is phenomenal and internationally renowned. And we have just been so honored to have you on the Her podcast to talk about women and smiling and what the heck that's all about. And now you know what a resting bitch face is now, Helen. you can take that and you can take that and have some fun with it. Do you have one parting word of wisdom for us as we close the segment?
People in dating, people like somebody who smiles. They really do. It's a gracious, don't do it if it's not natural. People will pick it up if you're faking it. But a real smile on a date is something that both sexes like.
Love it. Dr. Helen Fisher, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast. And everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And just please take a moment or two, rate and review this podcast, especially this one. This one's so cool because I want to hear from you and I read these things. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you could also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.